Good morning, everyone. We are going to do a quick Q&A today. I have got to get out of here. So Chris and I are headed to Las Vegas for our last trip of the summer. And this outfit is just not going to work. I'm going to have to change tops before we go. I don't love how it shows the bra. It's like, I love this top, but it would be better with a jacket worn over it, not just like going places. So I will switch my top out before we leave. But we're headed to Las Vegas. We're going to be there for a couple days. King's birthday is on Sunday. So we are going, we almost always go to Vegas this weekend to celebrate his birthday every year, since that's what he likes to do. So we're going to go out there, and I'm actually flying out this afternoon, going straight from here to get a haircut. And then I'm going straight to the airport, and then going to work tonight. We're not going out tonight. I've got, I am so in the throes of the October camp workbook right now. It is, I've got to do something with myself. I'm up to 70 pages right now. I'm just like, just writing like the cat meme. Just like, oh, I want to include this. And oh, I want to include this. I've got so much new stuff that I've been learning lately that I'm really going to have to edit myself at some point. But the way I like to write y'all stuff is, the first thing I do is throw everything in the kitchen sink together. And I just think every possible thing that I would want to teach, I put everything in a course. I put everything in a, like for the workbook for camps, all the things. And then I go back through and I visualize myself on stage, or I visualize myself teaching it, and what I think, like the audience interaction. And then I start peeling away things that are like, what would be the most impactful, and then what is, you know, what is something that we don't need to get into. So that's kind of how my process, just in case y'all are wondering. So if you have any questions, you can go ahead and ask them now. If we don't have any questions today, it will be a super quick Q&A. I know we're at the point where everybody's been around a while. The youngest of the young are from June, so we have had several of these. Just to give you an update on what's going to be happening is, the camps, all of the events, if you are following along, there's still openings in all events for everyone that tried to throw panic and fire into the streets. No dogs and cats started living together. So it was busy. And then, but we still have openings. So if you're sitting around worried that you weren't going to be able to go and all that kind of stuff, everything has openings. So save up. You never know. I do anticipate when the newbies come in that there will be some of these will sell out by that point. So but that'll be good, because when our new girls get here, they're going to get an opportunity to take advantage of our events, just like you know, just like you guys do. I was personally, as a mama, was a little bit worried about if we were selling out that, you know, they would join in September and then, you know, have to wait and a full year before anything would even be available to them. So I'm really glad that it's working out the way it is. And someone asked, is there any maintenance training? I don't do maintenance specific classes hardly ever. And here's why. Maintenance just like is thought work. That's all it is. It's like, just raise your hand and ask questions about maintenance. I mean, that's what we do at camp. But what I teach at camp is like, well, I'll just give y'all a preview of what all we're doing. Let me pull it back up. I had to close it because I'm going to work on it in my, I got to work on it in on the plane. It's participant workbook. I don't know. I closed so many earlier. That's not it. That's an old one. I actually went through a bunch of the workbooks that I've done over the years. Oh my God. I have written so many books. Like, I can't even believe it. Like, I was just amazed. Oh, somebody asked about this nail color. I don't know what color it is. I just picked it up at the, I didn't even pick it out. It's S&S. I just told them I wanted a blue. So they gave me a blue. I'm not real picky, obviously. And let's see. So we're doing some stuff about worry. So that totally pertains to maintenance, because a lot of times people who are in maintenance, they're worried about it. And so we're doing a dive into worry and what are we worried about? We're doing a really big thing on perspective. This is all about the model and how to use like ladder thoughts, how to pause the model, switch models, how to like just do all kinds of things with like, it's a real deep dive into the model, but it's based upon, it's more of a lesson on perspective and then how the model helps us with our perspective. And then, the second day starts with talking about our past and dealing with our past and like how it influences us now. So like if you're thinking about maintenance, a lot of us who are in maintenance, we sit there in fear because every other time we've lost weight, we have regained it back. So the reconciling of that past and how it's, you know, what role it's going to play today and stuff, like really understanding how your past there's basically, guys, just the short of it. And then let me find my filters question. This is where all my questions are. I just want to make sure I don't get too far behind so I don't have a lot of time. Your past is a circumstance. It's already happened. Your present is the experience that you're just having today. So it's the things you're doing. Like today is all the thing will be a compilation of all the things that you decide to do. Your future is a result of all the things that you decide to do. So the trick is to learn how to think about what you want most and stay future focused and then act today based on that. What most of us do, if I ask you, like, well, tell me about the things you've got going today, you will base it upon your past experiences. And so, and a lot of us don't have great past experiences to base anything on. So if you're going to, let's say, you know, start the No BS for the third time, you're going to go in either basing it on, I'm going to do the No BS for the third time because I can see that the third time is probably when I might be able to solidify some things. I notice that in the past I have stopped here, so my future self, in order to keep going, will need to do. That's a future-focused mindset. That's someone who's like in the who's rectifying, looking to the future more. But what most of us do is like, well, Corinne, I'm going to do the No BS one more time, but I fucked up every other time and I always quit. And that's past focus. That's saying, and it's like, I really hope I can do it this time, but my history tells me I'm kind of a loser. That's past focus. You get to look at it any way you want. That's why we're doing a big thing on perspective the day before so that we can really understand. Perspective is a choice. It's whatever lens you're going to look through it. So then we're going to address the past on day two. First thing, because most of us, the lens we're looking through everything is from our past, and we want to learn how to do that from our future. We're also going to do, so it's a lot of past stuff, and then we're going to deal with how we're causing our own pain and how are we currently suffering, because before you can even start changing how you think about your past and how you think about your future, you have to really understand the price you're paying today. Most of us don't realize and understand all the price that we're paying. Then we're going straight into the relationships, the manual, like, you know, what is our most difficult relationship, the person we want to change most, all the things that we go on. We're going to deal some with boundaries. A lot of people really get stuck on when boundaries are appropriate and such. We're going to talk a lot about that. So we're not only going to just talk about relationships with others, but there will be some dealing of the relationship with yourself through that. And then we're going to talk a lot about, and I don't think I have all of it in here just yet. I've got a couple of other things. So the middle part is all about the relationships. And then we're going to go into like self-love type stuff. So we're dealing with our past. We are now going to focus on our external relationships. And then we're going to end the day kind of dealing with our internal relationship with us and just kind of understanding where we want to go with it. Like, how do we get unstuck when we're stuck? You know, why are we self-sabotaging? Those kinds of things. Then day three is more about all of the diet mentality stuff. So if you're in maintenance, we're going to do a lot of stuff about tying your purpose to your health. You're going to be doing a lot of stuff on planning, not just the typical planning stuff, but like planning around more in terms of realistic planning and how do you make that shift in your perspective and how do you use it for different stages. Diet rules that suck. We're going to clean out the cobwebs on all the old hanging bullshit beliefs that we have around that, because you never can move. You're never going to be able to lose weight if you hold on to the old diet beliefs. So those have to get like unearthed and cleared out. And then we're going to start getting into, like, ideally, what do you want to be doing? Like, if all things were perfect, this is how I would roll. This is how I would eat. If I didn't have drama and old diet rules, I would choose these things. So we're going to, like, really, like, paint the picture of who you want to be. And then we end it with a 30-day plan. Because this is the thing. Once you figure out where you're at and once you figure out where you want to be, the middle is 30-day plans. It's like every 30 days, you just take another 30-day chunk towards that version of you that you want to be. And that's kind of, and there's like some other stuff. Trust me, I got more I didn't even read on here. But that's kind of what camp is going to be looking like. And that is, what I like to think about is camp is where we come together as a big group to do a workshop where you're working on the upper level stuff. And then when you come to my sixth day, when it comes to weight loss, that sixth day is more about like digging deep, challenging in the moment, experiencing an urge in lifetime, getting coached on it, really diving. Like we're going to really stay hammer focused on all things around weight loss beliefs, all around the self-love component. I think that's such a huge piece. And you have to learn all these things so that when you're in maintenance, you can do it. So if you're in maintenance and you come, you'll get a lot of like, you know, stuff where we like really test our hunger scale and stuff, but it's really going to be more about, you'll notice areas where you may have been able to lose the weight, but you never really did this work. And this is, this would be an opportunity to do that too. All right, let's see what we got going on over here. What are some specific foods you add to your plan during that time of the month? Mine's mostly carbs. So that time of the month is knocking on the door hard right now. It's like, it's Vegas. And it's like, this morning I woke up, I was like, oh shit. I feel cramps already starting. So I'm really hoping mind over matter on this one. And we don't start till Sunday because that's when I fly home. I'm all fine with flying home on it. I just don't want to be sitting by the pool on it. But it's really just carbs. Like I just like, I'll add more baked potatoes. Almost every, like I barely eat a vegetable when I'm on my period. Honestly, I just like for about a couple days, it's just a lot of like I tend to crave salty things. So I might have a sandwich and chips. I just think about like, I typically want meat and carbs. And I just, and sometimes even the meat is off-putting. So then I'd like back the meat back out, but it's like 2 days a month. And I just think, just eat the stuff that you're going to be able to eat that is remotely healthy. Like it gets me from not turning it into a shit show. So I just plan for whatever it is I'm going to want. And I just know that, my hunger scale is still in check. You know, I don't sit there and gorge on stuff. In fact, I swell so bad that usually on that first day, I really just want some carbs, but not a lot of carbs, but I swell so bad. I'm uncomfortable most of the day. So I just, it's usually days 2 and 3 where, that starts going down and I pee a lot. And then I tend to eat a little bit more carbs. And I think it has something to do with being tired. And that is why my body will say it wants more carbs. And rather than just going out and having blizzards and ding dongs, I like load up on baked potatoes. I love those stupid dry ass Weight Watcher pizzas during that time. Like I like my pop chips during that time, stuff like that. I guess on when homecoming registration will open. No, I have no guess. So we finalized a contract with an event team who is going to take over all the hotel negotiations for us because homecoming is going to be so big. It's a bigger contractual thing. So we just decided to hire a company that can handle all that for us. So we don't have any, like it probably like, I bet we don't open homecoming until probably sometime in October. I don't quote me on it, but I would imagine that all the contract negotiations and stuff will take a little while. When you first started weightlifting, how often did you lift weights? I did twice a week back in the day. So I would take body pump, like usually like on a Monday, and then I would take it on a Thursday. That was kind of what I was doing. I started with the, body pump class just so I could learn more about stuff. And then I started transitioning over into the weight room. I eventually hired a trainer and then he and I lifted with him 3 days a week for a long time, for about 6 months. And then he really taught me a lot about just Like, I just told him that I wanted to work with him and that I was not interested in a boot camp, that I was actually interested in learning how to bro lift because I wanted to learn good form and all the things. Because I knew that if I learned early on, like, good form on, you know, push-ups, chest presses, squats, deadlifts, all those kinds of things, then when you got into the boot campy type stuff where you're jumping around and jump like that, you would have really good form. So I lifted heavy with him for a while. And then for most, after that, I would say the majority of my lifting career, I lifted 5 days a week. I lifted a body part a day. And then about 2 years ago, I stopped doing that. And now I lift anywhere from 2 to 3 days a week. Like this week is only going to be 2. Last week was 3. Just depends on kind of what my calendar looks like. And now that I'm running more and training for that 5K, he has me lifting. He just says, you know, pick when you want, but I can lift either 2 or 3 days a week, and he puts them on the schedule. And then if I look at my schedule and I know like one day is not a good day for lifting or something, I just make one day an upper body, one day a lower body. If I'm going to do it in 3, I make one day a lower body, and then one day is shoulders and arms, and the other day will be back and chest. And that's kind of how I like to lift. Is there a good approach for couch to 10K training for Don't Stop Believing? A good app? I'm sure there are apps out there. We will give you a training schedule for the 10K. So if you do Don't Stop Believing, you get a 5K, a 10K, and a half marathon training plan along with all the training videos and stuff. So I would use ours because we had it custom written by Jill Angie. Now, if you don't want to use that, you can use anything you want, but I'm sure there's tons of them out there. I just don't have one that I would recommend. I don't use apps for that stuff. What is the difference in MCT oil and Brain Octane brand? It's just that Brain Octane's the brand name. That's it. There's no difference. It's been a while since we've heard an update on the book you're writing. How's that going? Well, I stopped it. So I think I announced it a while back. I did not like the way it was going. It wasn't the book I wanted to write. And I think what happened is, I would say in this last year and a half, I have grown so much in how I teach you guys and the things that I understand. It's funny, I was actually having a conversation with a colleague yesterday who I just think is the upper echelon of coaching. I just was talking to her and I just always revere her. I just think that she's the smartest thing that I know. And I had messaged her privately and I said, can I get your take on just some like life coaching theory? And because I was writing that book and I was like, you know, I want to, for the camp work book, I really want to explain this concept, but I don't know if I like the way I'm explaining it, whatnot. So we're bouncing stuff back and forth. And she said, oh my God, I just love talking theory like this with you. And she said, you're actually teaching me. She's like, I've never really thought of it like that. And I was like, oh, so then I'm, you know, like, oh, I feel like I'm arriving. But as I was writing the book, it just wasn't what I wanted. Like, I want a book that is inspirational. And it started off being more of like, here's a little bit of mindset, but then here's how to basically like do the basics or something. It wasn't anything that I don't already have out, and it's not anything that's not already out there. And I'm like, when I do a book, it will be unique, it will be amazing, and it will be unlike something else that's out there. And I have an amazing idea for the one I want. The moment that I let that one go, it was amazing. And this is something that I think is good for all of you to think about. Is sometimes like you have to stop a goal or you need to quit on a goal, but you don't quit on it because you weren't taking action towards it. That's where most of us get hosed. Like, when should I give up on something? You give up on something when you keep taking action and it just never feels right. Like, and that was me. Let me tell you, I was working with someone. We were far into this project. I had spent a lot of money on this project. Let me just tell you, the broke version of me at 12 years old, sitting with Mammy at Bonanza, eating all we could because we didn't know, you know, when another decent meal was coming, did not like saying, and that money is just bye-bye. We just learned a very valuable lesson. It was hard, like really hard. This stuff is still really hard for me. I have still got lots of work to do around being okay, just around money. Like, you know how we have like maintenance mindset? Some of us get really hosed, like we lose our weight. We've got so much work to do around our new body. It's so foreign to us. It's so all the things. Like, here I am at 45 years old, and I still think about money like I did when I was like 22 in an apartment by myself, thinking that 50 bucks a month was like I had like just shit in the high cotton. Like, I just have a lot of like drama around it. And it's in the past, it's one of those things where I literally had to coach myself and just say, we're not doing something just because we spent money on it. It's either the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. And we're going to really like our reason for stopping. Are we stopping because it's not the right thing? Are we stopping because you got bored? What is it? And so when I went through and I really evaluated, I understood, like, this is when you, like, this is when you give up on something. This is when you know it's okay to say, and this is a no. Because the quit is very different there. The quit isn't like immediate relief. There's a little sadness to some of those quits. I mean, I didn't be like, oh, now I feel relieved. I felt solid in the decision, but I didn't feel relief. And I think that's a big key when it comes to quitting on something. And so the long story short is I have this idea. So what I was telling you guys is, like, when you stop pursuing something that just isn't that important anymore, and when you do all your work around it, and you do it the right way, where you don't feel like I don't feel like a loser for not doing it and all that kind of shit. Like, I feel like I really made a choice that was not only best for Corinne. I feel like one of these days I'm going to put a book out that is going to be the book that is really going to change thousands and thousands of lives. The future people who read the book that I want to write will thank me for not putting out the other one. And so I can't even share the idea. It's so good. All I can tell everyone is lose weight. A lot of it. I have such an inspirational book and title already and idea for it and all the things. And I'm already starting the groundwork on the internal on how can we make this happen? Because it's not like anything that's been written. So, and that's what I want. I'm unique, and I want my book to be unique. So, all right. What is the homecoming event? That's going to be our, I want you to think of, like, it's a 2,000 member PNP event where we're going to come together next July. And it's going to be kind of like, I'm calling it homecoming because I feel like we're a family. And we're a mix of being a family and a bunch of girls that might not have been super popular in high school, gotten invited to the dances and done all the things. And so I want there to be a mix of, like, this is our party that we never got to have. This is the prom. This is the homecoming. Like, I went to homecoming and prom, but it never felt pretty because I was always overweight. And a couple times I went with jackasses, whatever, you know. But we're going to, like, have an amazing time, but we're going to be totally inspired. I'm going to be doing all kinds, like what I normally do, just get on stage and just rock. And then it's really going to be that celebration of being at, like, that tribe life, like really understanding how fortunate we are to be learning how to do this in a different way than anyone else gets to. So that's kind of what the homecoming will be like. Can I upgrade camp from regular to VIP if I come into money later? Like I said, if I come into money later, yeah, if it's still available, you can always upgrade. If you let us know, you just have to email support. And then I think they have a process. I'm sure they have a process. I say they mean Sadie. That's a process. I like how I talk about her. Like, she's like a team of women over there just getting it on. And I don't know if you guys know, but my mother is now the first person who looks at customer service, and she divides everything out for us. My mom, I don't know if you guys know, I think she might be watching this. She retired, I guess it was a little over a year ago. I think it was a year in August. And, or maybe it's been 2 years. I can't remember. I think it was a year. But she has time, and we needed somebody who could go into the customer support. We have a system. and go in there and like just divide the duties out and stuff. Poor Sadie was spending a lot of time in there, and Sadie has a lot of other things to do for me, so it's been a big help. But y'all don't bitch about me, because my mama's gonna read it. Let's see. Does anybody else have any more questions? I have about 5 more minutes, and then I've got to get off here, guys. I hate to cut it short, but I have got to go get this. Y'all check this hair out. It's got all the roots, all the things. It was time, and she couldn't get me in any other time other than right before I flew out of town. Have you thought of having a PNP cruise? We have thought about it. Here's the thing. I want our events to not just be, I don't want them to just be big-ass vacations. I think it would be hard to wrangle cats. I think it would be fun for everybody. Like, if we were just going to plan a fun one and I wasn't going to be doing a bunch of talks and all that kind of stuff, sure. But what I do want to say for 2021, we are going to look at doing things a little differently, like maybe, maybe doing some on the West Coast, stuff like that. Please don't say Vegas. I have been to Vegas with 15 PNP people, and it took 3 years off me and Chris's life. We will find a place, but I don't know that Las Vegas is great. And here's why. Everybody gets drunk at night and they barely can come in the next morning, or they get distracted. Next thing you know, they're skipping out on shit and they're going shopping. Look, if y'all are going to come, we're going to change. We're going to learn. We're going to do those things. We're not coming to Vegas. Like, y'all can get a girls trip together and go to Vegas if you want to. What are your go-to little wins? I don't know what little wins would be. The Wizard of Little Wins. I don't know. Like, just getting up and working out in the morning. Sometimes, like, working out. But, and I will say, when I don't want to, one of the things that I've been working on is, I think a lot of you always want to know, like, how do you stay motivated and stuff? And it's like, habits. I established some habits, and now I'm motivated because I have the habit, and I really like the end result. And once I started liking the result, and I think this is really key, is when I created my habits, I made sure that the process was easy to start, buildable, repeatable, and that I would enjoy it. And when I really thought about like establishing them that way versus just like, well, I really need to be a morning exerciser, so I've never done it, I'm going to start going to the gym at 5 a.m. and take a class 5 days a week. That is so fucking ridiculous. And yet that is the way everybody tries to start like an exercise habit. Like, I literally started with like, what's the easiest thing to do? What is for sure something easy to commit to? And what is something that could be repeatable and then scalable? And I think that habits, that's the best way to stay motivated, is to find something that you get to where you know, once you start doing it, you start getting some results, you start liking it more. And if the process is easy, you start liking it more. Then you start feeling motivated. But most of us, what we want is like, hey, I want to do something that I hate right now, and I want to do something I really don't enjoy or I don't look forward to. How do I feel good about going and doing it? You don't. You can look forward to the end result and stuff, but thinking that you got to figure out how to get to the point to where you want to do it first is the mistake. Like, we have to quit waiting to want. You have to build in the habits and the things that make it easy to do so that you can experience the want next time. All right. I wrote a post earlier, but wanted to say thank you live. I just had a good solid cry after dropping my kid at kindergarten instead of raiding the pantry. Thanks for making me think twice. You're welcome, Kate. Good for you. Can you please talk a minute about how brain chatter telling you to keep eating, have a little more, can also be a sign of reached your plus two, and plus two isn't always necessarily signal physically. That totally can be a plus two, guys. That's one of my most common ones. It's like, I can tell when I'm taking a deep breath, and then when I'm like trying to rush the process, when I'm like, well, you better eat a little faster, or, you know, a little more won't hurt. That's when I know I'm like at my two. Now I'm like, my subconscious is like, well, we know that physically you're at a plus two, but we're going to give you a bunch of bullshit talk to make you keep going because you're used to. This is what the problem is. We are in a habit of the overeat. We're in the habit of having a little more and stuff. You have to break that habit and form the habit of hearing that and then stopping and in enjoying the result of the stopping. And you may want to do this, guys. If you're in the habit of blowing past your two a couple, three times a day, rather than getting frustrated and stop trying, pick one meal and the rest of them you can eat to, like, just tell yourself, now I'm going to consciously do it. I now eat dinner to a plus four, but I only eat breakfast to a plus two. And I eat lunch to a plus four and dinner to a plus four. I'm going to start somewhere. I'm going to get used to stopping at one meal. But I'm also going to put like a stop on the others. I'm just going to eat more than I know I need for weight loss. But I'm going to do that consciously rather than sitting around frustrated with myself like, I'm just that person who can't understand it. You don't have to be that person. I'm 1 pound from Queen's Club. Can you help me with some thoughts if I don't make it for tomorrow's weigh-in? I'm working hard on compassion for myself. I'll give you the one that I used when I was trying to break 200. Next week will be better. Queen's Club ain't going nowhere. I'll see them next week. That would be so simple. And if you're 1 pound away, just be like, oh my God, I've already lost 24. I only have to make the one. I can wait one more week. I just got to keep doing what I'm doing. That's all you have to do. Like, literally. And then when I get on the scale, I always tell myself, this is an opportunity to love yourself. We're not beating ourselves up or anything. Pre-tell yourself what you're going to say. Do you think rewarding yourself for X amount of recovery worksheets is counterproductive? I was thinking about putting a pebble for each one in my urge jar if I do a recovery worksheet, even though I didn't resist the urge. No, I don't think that you're rewarding yourself for showing up after the fact. I think that's fine. I think you just have to be really clear. Like, I am, like, rewarding myself for not sweeping this shit under the rug. We should celebrate that. Because the problem, it's not counterproductive. If you're going to have an overeat, the counterproductive thing would be to not do the recovery worksheet. Not to say, I did my recovery worksheet. Because when you do it, you're going to learn. You just need to watch for thoughts of, like, I really hope I fill up my recovery worksheet jar. Like, no, like, I want to keep it low because I'm learning from my recovery worksheets, not because I'm giving up on doing the work to solve my overeats. All right, last question. Do you have any suggestions for period cravings? Yeah, I just talked about that at the top of this show. I am great most of the time of the program, and then that time of the month hits. I plan. Whatever you want to eat during that time of the month, you should have it on your plan rather than sitting there thinking that somehow this month you're going to show up as some other human being. All you have to do is plan what you're going to have. I just plan what I'm going to have, and I eat to a two. That's how I like to do it. And I just plan the things that I know that I'm going to want. The biggest thing, it has, like, there is no one gains weight on their period unless they give up and stuff their face. That is the only time. If you are making a plan that's compassionate, that allows you to have some of the things that satisfies your cravings, because what most of you do is you have cravings, you satisfy them, then you beat yourself up, and then you just eat like a shithead for 3 days. That's how you gain weight on your period. If you plan for the things you want, it's totally on your plan. You treat it like it's an exception. And then you know that you're just going to keep the habit of planning, keep the habit of moving forward, keep the habit of following whatever's on the plan. You're not creating some kind of weird habit or pattern thinking. And then every month, you don't have to fear your period anymore. You feel in control of it. Okay, guys, I'm going to get out of here. Go get this mane cut. Y'all have a good one. There's a weekend motivator coming out tomorrow. It'll be in the it'll be uploaded to videos. It'll be uploaded to Facebook, and it will be uploaded to the Private Mirror podcast. So you'll won't miss it. It's a good one. And other than that, y'all have a real good one, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.